presented by Comcast.
Hey, good morning. I am Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Wednesday, June 12th. Here is what's driving the day. First off, if it is a Tuesday in America, it is another election night. I want to talk about two stories that came out of last night. First, South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace defeated Catherine Templeton, a former gubernatorial candidate whose allies threw in more than $5 million against Mace. That $5 million was largely from former Speaker Kevin McCarthy's allies. He has been on a kind of revenge tour against the Republicans who voted to strip him of his gavel. Mace's victory could be a good sign for McCarthy's other detractors who have their own primary challengers in the coming weeks and months. That includes Representative Matt Gaetz in Florida. One of the things that probably saved Mace was winning the backing of former President Donald Trump. He ain't always like her, but when it came down to it in this primary, he supported her. The other story that a lot of people are going to be talking about today out of last night is if someone told you that a former actor was taking on a state senator in the district that the latter's party won by a whole lot of points in the last presidential election, you'd probably anticipate a blowout. But last night in Ohio 6th, Mike Rulli, the GOP candidate, he pulled off a win, but it was way below expectations. On one hand, this should have been a slam dunk. He's a state senator, known quantity. He spent loads more money than his opponent, Michael Kripchak, who quit his job at the restaurant 2 months ago to run. And don't get me wrong, a win is a win. But in this special election, in a state and a district that's typically very, very red, this could be warning signs for Republicans for not just this district in November, but also the country, maybe. It's always dangerous to try to extrapolate a lot out of one special election in one place. However, it does seem to be a part of a pattern in special elections where Democrats are overperforming their polls and definitely overperforming where people think they're going to be in November. Jack Pandahl, a spokesperson for the NRCC, told me last night that trying to extrapolate a broader lesson out of a race that is seeing such low turnout is just foolish. Ouch, Jack. And finally, something you definitely heard about yesterday. A federal jury has convicted Hunter Biden, the first son, on all three of his federal felony gun charges. Essentially, they found that he did violate laws meant to prevent drug addicts from owning firearms. The jury kept the deliberations short, just under 3 hours. In a statement, the president said he respected the jury's decision, but also added, quote, "As I said last week, I am the president, but I am also a dad. Jill and I love our son, and we are so proud of the man he is today." Joining me now to get into all of that is Politico's White House Bureau Chief, Jonathan Lemire. Lemire, how are you? Thanks for coming.
Always happy to be with you, Eugene.
Now, you and I have been covering a lot of the Hunter things. You've been really drilling down into it as the case kind of took off. What do we know about how President Biden heard about it, what he did when he heard? Because we know this is something that has been weighing on him for weeks and months.
This was no surprise, this guilty verdict, but still came as a shock.
Yeah.
President Biden deeply worries about his surviving son. He was in the White House when he heard, preparing, ironically enough, to give a speech about guns when he learned his son was convicted on gun charges. This has been weighing on him for months and months. As you say, I've reported about the personal toll this has taken on the president, and those close to him are far more fearful of the personal toll than the political one. But Biden himself, the president, feels in some ways guilty or responsible for what's happening to his son. And in fact, in the story that we posted on Politico, we have reporting that the president told someone close to him that if he weren't running again, he thinks Hunter Biden would have gotten that plea deal, the plea deal that fell apart a year ago. That would have prevented him from receiving any sort of prison sentence, which now is very much in the cards.
Now, all day yesterday and probably for weeks on end, we'll be talking to Republicans and Democrats about how this in particular might play. But what are they actually saying? How are they taking this news? I think they're probably with the president that they were all expecting this. But how do Republicans and Democrats view how this might impact the election, if at all?
It's a three-part answer. First, Democrats, we heard almost with one voice saying, look, we respect the rule of law. That stands in stark contrast to the Republicans and Donald Trump, who complained about Trump's conviction of a couple weeks ago. Republicans, you know, some of them said, well, it's good to see justice served, you know, no matter what your last name is. Others floated nonsensical conspiracy theories that, in fact, this charge was almost offered up as a cover by DOJ, as opposed to the family corruption allegations that they keep making for the Bidens and have yet to provide any real evidence. In terms of the Biden, the White House, and the campaign, they have always felt this matter, if Hunter were to be convicted, it's really not going to change the trajectory of the race. The Republicans, for years now, dating back to 2020, 2019, have tried to make Hunter a campaign issue. They tried to open up an impeachment inquiry into his father over his business dealings. And none of that has had any sort of impact in the polls. So they don't think this will matter much to voters. And in fact, some of them believe that they'll actually gain some sympathy because so many Americans have addiction in their own lives and see the struggle of the Biden family. But they do think that Donald Trump will try to make an issue of it, particularly at the debate. And that's where we reported in the last 24 hours or so that that's where the Biden campaign is really focusing its efforts right now. They now think that the Hunter conviction will loom large when these two men meet in Atlanta on the 27th.
Lemire, you have covered both of these men extensively. You've written a book about Donald Trump and the big lie. When you take in this information, we have the conviction from Trump. We have the conviction of Hunter Biden. When you think about how they are going to think about these things, not their teams, how they are going to think about things, these things, what do your guts tell you about how they're going to make these things matter or not?
I actually think that this deprived Donald Trump of could have been a more potent campaign issue. Had Hunter Biden been acquitted, he could have said, look, I was right. It is a two-tier system of justice. The Biden DOJ only goes after Republicans. Now he can't do that. So I think from what I am told by people close to him, there's almost an air of disappointment among some in the Trump world, though, of course, that won't stop him from making probably deeply personal attacks on Joe Biden to the debate, suggesting that he was an inadequate father who led, created a situation where his son could end up like this. For President Biden, I think this is a deep personal sadness. We know his life has been touched by tragedy over and over. Lost his first wife and daughter in a car crash. Lost his son, Beau Biden, to cancer a few years ago. Now has seen his surviving son really grapple with addiction and now a criminal conviction. The people around him have told me that the president has, he checks on his son every day. He's deeply worried about his sobriety. He's deeply worried what prison, were he to get jail time, could mean for him. So I think there's a fear here this is going to weigh on him, and that could manifest itself on this campaign much more than any swing voter suddenly deciding, oh, I'm not going to vote for Biden because his son was convicted, when at the end of the day, Hunter Biden's not in any ballot. Donald Trump is.
Right. Lemire, thank you for jumping on. We will all keep covering this. And this is not his only court case. He has another one in California, Hunter Biden. So this will continue to be an issue. And then there will be the sentencing of Hunter Biden. And then at some point of Donald Trump as well after his conviction in New York. So we have a lot to cover.
Yeah, these will be major storylines as Election Day gets closer. Happy to be with you.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in, and President Biden is headed to Italy today ahead of the G7 conference there. One more thing. Join Politico this morning for our event, Flight Path, State of the Airline Industry. You'll hear from FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker, Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, and many others. Learn more and register at politico.com/live events. Go there right now. After you finish listening to this, go to politico.com/live events. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
Did you know that most of the data on your smartphone travels over Wi-Fi, not cellular? Thanks to Wi-Fi innovation by Comcast, our customers connect over 1 billion devices to our network each year. Unlicensed spectrum is key to a fast and secure Wi-Fi experience at home and on the go. Comcast develops cutting-edge Wi-Fi equipment that maximizes our multi-gig broadband network and spectrum made available by the FCC. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com/innovation.